This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Good afternoon. Today, I'm going to take you to the pub. A huge property launched in the middle of Melbourne this week. It's called the Garden State Hotel. It is over 2,000 square metres of entertainment space. Well, it's food and wine right in the middle of the city. I want to take you to the launch of that pub. You're going to come with me for a little bit of a journey as we you sit there as part of the launch and meet some of the people behind what is rather an extraordinary venue. Stay tuned. We are indeed talking cravings. It's almost 7 minutes past one. He's falling over all of his words already this afternoon. Hello, I'm Pete Dillon. You are on Joy 94.9's Food and Wine program. This is Cravings, of course. And, well, I want to do something a little different. I'm not going to just sort of yarp on with a guest and explore the world as we know it. I want to take you to the launch today of a hotel. It opened the middle of this week, and it is far and away one of the most extraordinary buildings right in the middle of the city. It's on Flinders Lane. It runs all the way through to Duckboard Place. It's called the Garden State Hotel, and it's one of a group of 10 owned by two brothers and two of their mates. And the story of how these venues came about is really kind of fun. And you're going to get to meet some of those people. So we'll listen to part of the launch. We listen to one brother. The fact that these brothers ended up in tears at this at the lunch, talking about what it means to be in a pub, how much it's part of the fabric of our society, and what the space all actually feels like. So I want to bring you into this little journey today. I want you to feel like you're at the launch of this space. In the middle of all of that, we're going to speak to one of the four owners. We'll grab him on the phone and have a bit of a yarn, and he can talk about the relationship with these two brothers as well. It's really quite an interesting story. So a slight departure today on Cravings here on Joy 94.9. We'll also have a song or two for you to sing along to, dance along to in your car. But I do want to take you on that journey to the pub. So we'll get through some messages and things quite early, and then we'll start the very first of those chats with a guy by the name of Andy Mullins. He's one of two brothers that make up the Sandhill Road Group. There's no connection to them. I don't work with them. I have no relationship with these guys apart from being quite impressed by how they feel about what they do and what it is that they do that is truly hospitality. So we'll have a couple of community service announcements, and we'll listen to that chat from Andy Mullins. You are here with me, Pete Dillon, on Cravings on Joy 94.9, where it's already almost 9 minutes past one.
Hi, my name's Josh Pelham. I'm the 2015 Young Chef of the Year, and you're listening to Cravings with Pete Dillon on 94.9.
Cars, cooking, cruises, we have it all. Weekends on Joy 94.9.
Oh, indeed we do. It's 11 minutes past one here on Joy 94.9, a glorious Saturday afternoon in Melbourne. I hope you're out and about enjoying this day. I want to set a scene for you. So I'm in the middle of Melbourne. We're in what is rather an extraordinary space. It is a pub. It's 2,000 square metres of space. There is a beer garden on the ground floor right in the middle of it, and we're at the launch. So I'm going to take you, the guy that you're going to be listening to for the next little while is a fellow by the name of Andy Mullins.
So we found this site. It was called Rosati as a restaurant. Probably really big back in the 90s, John. Yeah,
86.
Wow. Going right back to Blue Blazers, I suppose. It had not been anything for a long time. It was a two-level building, so we had the basement and we had this level, and that was it. So we the Zagami family are the freehold owners here. We met with them. It was relatively competitive, so it was an overnight chat that we convened, and we just nailed it really quickly. So we've got to have this site. And that kick-started a six-month, very intense design phase, and then a six-month council phase. We traded off a 24/7 liquor licence, which the council was very supportive of us doing. It is a 5 a.m. licence. We don't think we'll ever trade to 5 a.m. We think a 3 a.m. will be our maximum. Just nothing real. I mean, let's be honest, nothing good really happens between 2 and 6 a.m., especially with young children, and wives were supporting
that. That's on the street.
So we'll probably 3 a.m. Dan, is that
I'm going to go right. So yeah.
I myself walked into Jackie last night to rapturous applause at 2:30, and that was we're done. So the design company, construction was by Schiavello. The design company is Techni Architects, which we've worked on for about 10 projects, including our personal houses. But we always, before we launch into the design, we always sit down with them and ask, is this the right project for you? And is this the right thing for us? Funnily enough, what we've built here today is a sketch that Matt, one of our partners, who's my brother, we sketched it on whiteboard the night we had to convene to say, are we going to do this or not? And we saw lots of different things from the architects, but this is actually that sketch on a whiteboard from a couple of years ago. We were very keen to, and Matt will take us through this a little bit later through lunch. We were very keen here to give the city a park. So the whole idea was this concentric courtyard or beer garden, and we were pretty determined to build the entire venue around it whilst maintaining what you've got here, the sawtooth roof you can see. This was originally the Denniston Clothing Factory, Flinders Lane being the supplier of clothes to Melbourne at the time. It was built in 1841. It burnt down to the ground, so you can still see we've left some of the details of the fire itself. So we were very keen, council was very keen to maintain a lot of the integrity of that building. And our biggest challenge with the builders was to say, stop making it clean. So all these little edges and things around, we lost a lot of that character. We kept saying, don't. So what we've built is a four-level venue. It's actually five levels with admin on top. We're standing in the beer garden. We've just been in the public bar. We might take a little walk down to the Rose Garden first and then up through the elevators to the top level. Along as you go, you've got Doug Maskell here, Tom Birch, Kevin from OTV, you've got Dan Viney, please chat, we're a big group. Marcus Radney, nice haircut, mate.
Thank you.
That's this morning.
He actually rang me and said I need to be late to work today. I've got to get a hair.
I'm going to take you a bit further into this journey shortly, but there's a couple of important things in this discussion. So there we are in the middle of Melbourne. There is a beer garden in the middle of Melbourne. There is a rose garden in the middle of Melbourne. Right in the heart of our city, and it's a most extraordinary place to go and visit. One of the things about these guys is that they have 10 pubs, and each one has a very strong charity arm as well, where they look after local charities. So we'll go back to this chat. There's more from Andy Mullins, and of course this is Cravings on Joy 94.9.
He's an exceptionally well-versed sommelier.
That's the story.
Here it is. Yes, we fortunate enough to meet Marcus, and when he was explaining his history to the staff, he's 26, but has been a sommelier for this would be your 10th year.
Yeah.
Do the maths on that. sommelier 26, 10th year this year, and it came about through just a discovered love of wine in the Margaret River region. I moved to Perth, a tutelage under a wonderful sommelier, a lady who really sparked your interest in wine. A move across to the Quartermaster sommelier program in France. He did exceptionally well in the program, and made the mistake on the night of the awards to mention to the head quartermaster that in fact he was 17. And this ensued a large discussion from them around whether or not they would appropriate him, and of course they did. And mate, we're very, very lucky to have you here. He's a great resource, please. And we were not too sure about our growth plans and what are we doing and how do we do it. And this consultant came in, and she was amazing. She's very expensive, and she said we're going to break you back to a word. And over the period of 2 or 3 weeks, she interviewed many of our family, our friends, many of our staff through focus groups, our suppliers. They gave us feedback on who we are. We were trying to work out who we are and what we do. She eventually came back to sat the four of us down after 3 or 4 weeks, and she said, "Right, I've got your word." And we were waiting on bated breath. "Where are we? What's it going to be?" And she said, "Your word is humility." And I said, "How do you feel about that?" And we looked around and we sort of went, "I don't kind of feel humility. I don't really feel worthy." And I guess Aaron mentioned the word earlier. We're not standing in a humble place. We understand that. But it probably is the key word that I guess others perceive about us. And I'm glad the word wasn't, arrogant pricks or anything like that. I'm quite comfortable with that word. In saying it tonight, and forgive my slight nervousness in talking in front of you guys, we feel exceptionally unworthy of sitting in your attention in this place for this reason. So thank you so much on behalf of Matt, Doug, Tom and myself, our wives, our kids. Thank you for giving up your time today to come and have lunch with us and see what we've built. We really do feel quite humbled by it. As I said, the we're not standing in something. We didn't go out to build something humble. We Matt's going to talk about it after lunch. We understand this is not humble, therefore it might not be a completely accurate reading of the four of us and how we see the world. But let me take you back a little bit, and it might help you work out, I guess, where we come from. Matt and I are brothers. Tom and Matt met through Lord Summers Camp Powerhouse, a community organisation, did many years work together with all sorts of different camps. I was part of that too. But really, the story of Sand Hill Road comes back to Doug Maskell, who's just at the back there. Put your hand up, Doug, so we can know who you are. Dougie was running pubs, so he took his Melbourne Uni science degrees, psychology degrees, and thought, "Oh no, the thing for me, it's going to be pubs." He fell in love with the industry, and he one drunken night made the mistake of telling the other three boys here that he wanted to own a pub one day. We hijacked that idea, and 16 years later, Tom, this is where we are. It's funny when we say 16 years, because with our staff we're training, we can actually say, "So who's 22? And they put their hand up and say, "Great, you were 6 when we started this journey." Oh, I'm right next to you. This is Megan Griffin, by the way, one of our incredible marketing people. You are 24, so she was 8. It kind of gives us a little bit of a sense of history that we didn't realise we had. We have been through a fair bit. We bought that first pub in Fitzroy, called the Commercial Club Hotel, back when you could buy a pub as 4 mates. We had no money. When I say no money, my car had just been repossessed. When we had a meeting together, we would actually work out whose car's got the most petrol in the tank, and that was the one we'd take. We were full of ideas, and we had zero money to fund those ideas. But we had a great bunch of mates. So we said to these mates, 28 of them, because if you went over 30 shareholders, you had to be a public company, which we weren't ready to list, given we only had a stupid idea on some toilet paper written down. So we got 28 mates. They each put in 1,000, 2,000, 3 grand, whatever they could, and they became our first shareholders. That pub was called the Commercial Club Hotels in Fitzroy. It's interesting, our journey has come back around to the Commercial Club Hotel. We specifically looked at Melbourne and said, we need to design pubs for females. So of our $30,000 budget, we spent $8,000 of it on the toilets, the female toilets. The guys' toilets we left. But we wanted to create something that was genuinely different for a female market, knowing that female market will bring a male market too. But at the time, as much as this sounds kind of normal now, at the time this was a risk fraught. Everybody told us we were wrong. We had black taps, so no decals, no advertising. We had black beer taps. We had no Palmers, no Parmigianas, no billiard tables, no TVs. We played music on a six-stack CD turntable thing. We played music that we asked all our family friends, what do you want to listen to? And at the time, we weren't being in any way crusading. We just thought it was time for Melbourne to grow up. When we bought that first pub, there was literally a ladies' lounge and a public bar. And it blows our mind that that's how it operated, and it actually operated that way. So that was a commercial club hotel. We lived upstairs with 17 of our shareholders and about 184 mice and a large tub of mayonnaise, which is another story for another day. We had girlfriends who were shareholders living up there with us. It was probably, looking back, Megan, you were probably 9 by this stage. It was probably the greatest days of our lives. And I think this venue and this concept here in Garden State is returning to some of those things. As you guys know, other venues, Richmond, very Richmond centric, we've now specialised in beer branding, craft beers, we've specialised in sport, TVs. Our Parmigiana, 1 in 5 meals in our group is chicken Parmigiana. So we've moved, but I think we're moving back, and I think that's what this represents. That first pub in Commercial Club Hotel in Fitzroy, we paid back our shareholders 153% within 9 months. Very, very proud that we could do that. We then took our earnings and we bought a second and a third and a fourth and a fifth and a sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth. This is actually our 10th. We sold off 3 pubs a few years ago to keep funding ourselves. We are 100% owned by the 4 of us. There are no other partners. There's no big bank behind us. We've got a private lender who's lent for us for 16 years. And that's allowed us some great agility. It's allowed us to keep track of trends and movements in the market that we're really proud to say in some ways. We kind of feel a bit responsible for the hipster thing in some ways, because black beer taps, no Palmers, no TVs. We've never had a ponytail, never put a man bun on. We have got a couple of tattoos, but they're not sleeves. In some ways, we're watching Melbourne evolve, and in a really recessed corner of our existence, we know that we're part of it. I guess this venue itself is the expression of that. It's, as I said, it's not a humble venue. We didn't set out to create something that reflected our true values. We wanted to design something that, in this room, you'd walk off the streets of Manhattan, you'd walk in, you'd see an amazing bartender, you'd see a Peruvian chef shucking oysters, and you would realise that you've arrived somewhere very special in the world. And we're proud of that. We're very, very proud. I've just had a couple of chats with John Curtin here and some other people that this real estate, it's so special to us. We're so humbled and proud to be part of Pastuso, Tonka, Leho Fook, Cumulus up the road. It's an amazing time and an amazing region to be part of, and I can't believe we've actually found this space. Separate to, I guess, something that we're really careful to... Matt's going to talk more about the venue itself, so I'll leave Garden State here for a second. But something that we had to induct 180 staff recently, like in the last couple of weeks, which is a big call. How do you find those people? How do you express to them what we need them to do? And by the way, you guys, you were amazing today. Al, Grant, Marcus, Tilly, the team, doing really amazing stuff. But the core of our purpose, I suppose, I'm going to digress for a second off hospitality, is this little concept that, again, Doug, if you don't know, he's kind of the founder of all these ideas, I guess. We're sitting down one night, we're chatting about some of the charity work that we do over the years. That's how Tom and Matt met each other. We were trying to work out what a pub means in a modern society. What we know it used to mean, and probably still means in Ireland, lucky to have a few Irish staff, it probably means a pub is a place that you can walk in the front doors of, you could celebrate a death, a life, a marriage, a divorce, although in Ireland that would have been pretty controversial. It was a place that looked after you. Good times, bad times. You had a pub. And we were really conflicted with this idea that what are pubs becoming? It's seeming more becoming about food and drink and you know, hanging out and getting trashed, and it was really concerning to us. And Dougie's concept was Karma Kicks. So we started 4 years ago, Doug. We started this idea that our happy hour trade between 5 and 7pm, we donate all the profits, all the proceeds, not the profits, all the top line numbers, we donate all of that to charities. We've given away over $580,000 in the last couple of years. We don't give it to large funds and Royal Children's Hospital, even though these are critical causes. There's enough support for that. We give specifically to struggling families, local families, people in the area that the pubs need to look after, particularly Aboriginal causes. And the other day, before we opened this place, we brought in two elders, two amazing men, and they smoked the whole. They got all the staff around them, lit a beautiful gum leaf fire in here. The place filled with smoke, literally. We had to call the MFB to make sure they knew we weren't on fire. They played didge. They allowed all the staff to come and be part of the ceremony. And I guess in the essence, to cut to the core, that's what it's kind of all about for us. We sat down 17 years ago. And before we talked about owning a place like this, we talked about what happens when it all goes wrong. So what's our worst case scenario? It turns out that was a pretty good case scenario. We said we'd pay all our debts if it all went badly. We'd move to a seaside town. We'd continue to be partners, brothers, family and life. And life would be okay. I guess the point was, once we realised our worst case was probably our best case, and we were actually trying to get to that seaside town every day, what have we got left to lose? In this case, what have we got left to lose? Everything. As I say to John, we are all in. So after 16 years of hospitality, every single cent we put in to our lives, we come to this moment, this day. As I say to a few of you guys, we've been practicing getting ready for this moment with you guys here, because we treat your review of us as people and establishments, not literal review, but how you receive all of this very seriously. And there's, in no uncertain terms, we are all in. We've put everything into this. And I couldn't tell you how comfortable that feels. We feel like we're back to, you know, 17 years ago with four mates sitting around, so emotional, that's weird.
Hold me.
It's all right, buddy.
Good. Right now, I feel like I'm back there. And I couldn't be in a more comfortable space.
Bonjour, I am Gabriel Gatte. You are listening to Cravings with Peter Dillon on Australia's only gay and lesbian radio station, Joy 94.9.
Yes, you are listening to Joy 94.9. This is Cravings. I am Pete Dillon, and I'm sharing with you a story. I was quite inspired through this week when I went to the launch of a pub. This sort of thing I do a lot. However, there's a particular story about these four guys, and you've heard quite a bit from one of those four guys, Andy Mullins, and you may have noticed that at the end of that part that he was talking about, in the last part of that discussion, he actually got quite emotional. I've got a beautiful text message here, which I think kind of makes me smile as well. It says, "Hi Pete, what a great story. These guys really make the fabric and uniqueness of Melbourne so great. Oh, as always, a great show." One of the other fellows that is a part of that group of four fellows who has put together this chain of 10 pubs and has opened this most remarkable space in the city is Doug Maskell. He joins me on the phone now. Dougie, good afternoon.
G'day, Pete. It's a pleasure to be here, mate.
Mate, it's a pleasure to have you. I wanted to see if you can sort of help amplify this story. We're going to hear a bit more from Matt, who's Andy's brother, a little later. But sort of amplify the story about the emotion that connects the four of you. How did the four of you meet, and how did you build this little empire of pubs?
Yeah, it's a funny one. We're, you know, four guys that two are brothers. Andy and Matt are brothers, and we were all friends within at uni days, basically 25 years ago. people would say, "Oh, never get into business with family and friends."
But, it's an old adage.
We're just a family. We consider ourselves family. We consider ourselves a family company. I met Maddie at first day of O-Week at uni, basically, and we became best mates ever since. We were lining up to get cheap beers at O-Week at uni, and not much has changed in my life. To get cheap beer.
You get to have beers with your mates. It's quite remarkable. So you've sort of, this has been, I think, 16 years. You've seen some ups and downs as a group of friends, but it hasn't fractured. The four of you are really tight. It hasn't fractured. I'm sure you have the occasional harsh word, but how do you deal with, you know, none of you have gone off to do your own thing. There's been no division in this group. It's in this industry. It's quite remarkable.
Yeah. Look, I think the at its core, and it is our business is about the four of our relationship. What we did or what we do is almost secondary to us, as to the way that we do it. And it's when you start a business. Tom was 23 years old. Matt and I were 26, and Andy was 25. So we were young pups. And to be honest, you know, I probably wouldn't have given us the keys to a pub at that age. We were a bit naive and had not much idea, but we were full of confidence and full of great ideas. And we started with nothing. We had $0 at the start, and we basically looked each other in the eye on a handshake. We still don't have a shareholders agreement, on a handshake, and just went, hey, let's do something together. Let's do something that excites us. A pub seemed like a really good idea, given that, you know, we all wanted to do a business and love the idea of business strategy and that sort of stuff, but a pub is, we're selling firstly good times and next is food and booze, and what better thing to sell?
Oh, look, singing to the choir there, mate.
Yeah, totally. That just made a lot of sense. And we know that if the four of us are strong, if the four of us are great and talking to each other well with respect and love, then the business just works and it booms. Everyone around us picks up and gets on with it. It's just wonderful.
Are you surprised? I will come and talk about this space in a minute, but are you surprised that this is pub number 10? You know, obviously the group is incredibly successful because of that unique relationship that you share. Are you surprised by the success, or does it just sort of make sense?
I don't think too hard about it as far as I don't get too reflective on, oh, how successful are we, and whether that's, how do you judge success? I'm actually not sure. It's all, yeah, it's completely subjective and of a personal nature, but we never let the grass grow under us too much. So it's growth up until now has been relatively organic in that we'll get a pub, have an idea, get the pub. Fortunately for us, it goes pretty well. We put all the profits of that pub into the next one because we get bored with just like grinding out pubs. So you know, it's the four of us. We like bright and shiny things, and you know, we just want to keep creating, and that's the excitement for us. And you know, now we're in a fortunate position. We've got a wonderful team of people who work with us that really run a lot of the operations for us and better than we could ever do it. So which is great for us because it allows us to do what our strengths are, and that is dreaming and creating and bringing people together.
Doug Maskell is my guest. He's part of the Sandhill Road Group. Opened a fairly extraordinary space in the middle of the CBD just this week. I want to talk about the pub, Doug, because it's much more than a pub. From the front, you look at you know, the Garden State Hotel on Flinders Lane, and it looks like it's quite unassuming. Behind that front facade is something that's quite extraordinary. 2,000 square meters. Take us through some of the spaces and how you determined that is the concept that Melbourne needed.
Yeah, look, it's a cracking space. It's by location alone, you know, it is in the heart of Melbourne's greatest food and beverage strip in Melbourne, and also which is the best city for food and beverage in Australia, I think. So by location alone, it's we're very fortunate to have grabbed the space. But the pub itself is, it's on a large scale, but we've purposely tried to keep a whole bunch of intimacy within it. So you never walk in and see any more than probably 2 metres away from wherever you are without screening or greenery, or, you know, big copper tanks. There's always something of interest around. Our pub philosophy, which I think differentiates pubs from bars and restaurants, is this thing has a public bar. You walk in straight off the street, you're into a public bar, and it's, you know, it's not an old sticky carpet public bar, but it's certainly a public bar, which is the heartbeat, I believe, of every pub. And the second thing that I think is most important to Melburnians in pub design is a beer garden. And it's not a rooftop garden, which makes it more bar. It's actually, we gave away a third of the land to an almighty beer garden on the ground floor.
Which you can't find in Melbourne anywhere.
No, I believe that was one thing that we were adamant that we needed to do is produce a beer garden in a pub in the CBD. And, you know, this is represented by this, you know, 5 metre, oh, longer than, I think there's 7 or 8 metre tall trees in the middle of this beer garden. So it's, you know, it's a bit of an urban oasis. It's an urban park. And then, you know, sitting behind that is we built a brand new 5-story building behind it that kind of looks over this beautiful public bar and beer garden, and that within itself is pretty cool. It's on a hill, so the basement is a cocktail bar, but it backs onto Duckboard Place. So we're fortunate enough to basically have a laneway bar, which is very iconically, you know, Melbourne. You can come off a laneway into a bar. Within the space of this pub.
You've scored an incredible chef to oversee your food output, Ashley Hicks. He's ex-Circa, incredibly talented young man and a fine chef. What do you want to achieve out of food? Because there's a whole bunch of spaces where people can eat and private function rooms and private spaces. What do you want out of the food?
It's a really interesting one. We spoke really long and hard with Ash before we both agreed to work together on this, and not because we thought he couldn't cook, because he's an exceptional cook.
He brought Circa up
to two hats, and he's a wonderful fella. The key for us was just making sure that he was at a stage in his life that he wanted to cook exceptional pub food rather than trying to go for really, you know, foams and the whole gamut.
Smoke and foam and...
You know it. And he's in a perfect stage in his life where he goes, I know I'm a great chef and I want to produce exceptional food, and his success and his sign of success for him will be producing terrific, interesting, honest pub food. But it's there's more than just farmers and burgers. It is still really high quality food. So are we chasing hats? No. Are we chasing wonderful food that'll get wonderful reviews? Yeah, absolutely.
And we get hats, maybe.
Ash is true.
Mate, it's a fascinating space. So probably about 850 people. We've talked about the geography. We've talked about the physicality of it. I think an extraordinary venue for a whole bunch of reasons. There's a great nod to history. So the fact that it was an old rag trade building that burned, and you've got some really nice nods to that in the design. Was that all intentional?
Yes, indeed. Indeed, we love respecting the old buildings. We've done it in all of our other pubs. They've been old, rundown pubs, and we strip them clean and start again, basically. But we always respect the building that was originally there. And I think I love the soul of old buildings. And you don't have to go too far to walk in and go, oh, you know what? I get that this is all new, but there's something about the history within it that I think creates a wonderful feeling and mood. And not sure whether everyone else feels that, but I certainly feel it when I walk into old buildings that have been sympathetically renovated.
Doug, I want to ask you probably a difficult question. You've launched this great big new project. I don't think any of you have slept for about the last 3 months. But
you got to forgive my husky voice. It's been a long 4 days.
I think there's been a lot of husky voices around this venue. is there another space in Melbourne that you would have? If we could just wave a magic wand and say, right, here you go. Is there an ideal pub that you would like, just a personal thing, I'm not suggesting you would go and get it, but just a pub that you would like to take that you think is iconic Melbourne and just go, we want to play with this?
Oh, look, there'd be a whole handful of wonderful spaces. Melbourne's architecture is so beautiful if you just care to look up.
It's incredible. We're all too busy looking down at our phones, aren't we?
Totally, absolutely. I'm trying to find those Pokemon things lately.
Oh, don't get me started. Please don't get me started on Pokemon.
But, look, there'd be a handful of spaces that we'd love to really get our hands dirty on. And, you know, whether that happens or not, look, who knows? We're not actively chasing, never knocking a door, but there are such beautiful buildings, and I'd love to walk into many of them and just dream and get creative. And it doesn't have to be a pub, it just really
a building
spaces that you can get people to want to engage in and be part of. And that's the sort of philosophy of us, is bringing people in together and meeting and having fun.
Have you got a few more minutes? I've got to play a couple of messages, but I've got a couple more questions that I haven't got to yet. Can you give me a couple more minutes?
Sure thing, of course.
Doug Maskell is my guest. He's part of the Sand Hill Road Group. I've got a couple of messages to play. We'll come back. I want to talk a little bit about some of the talent that he's got in this venue. It's a 1:45. You're here on Joy 94.9. Do you love a good podcast? If you can't listen to us now, listen to us later. A new to Joy podcast over this last week, Dolly Diamond joins James and Christina live in studio on Triple Threat. Barb interviews the one, the only Jenny Berggren from a Swedish pop group Ace of Base on Triple X Songs of a Generation. Leo and Stephanie chat to the 2016 winner of The Voice, Elfie Arcue, on Sound Museum. And author Christos Scholkus chats about the new hit ABC TV series, Barracuda, on The Informer. Don't forget, you can also listen to every one of the Cravings podcasts from, I don't know, years back. It's been so long. And Megsy's obsession for dating apps has the girls investigating dating apps that are more trans-friendly on Transpositions. Joy podcasts where you want them and when you want them at joy.org.au.
G'day, I'm Pete Evans, and you are with Pete Dillon on Cravings on Joy 94.9.
You are with me on Joy 94.9. It's 14 minutes to 2. We are talking about the Garden State Hotel. We're devoting an hour to this incredibly impressive building, and Doug Maskell is one of the four men, blokes, that own the Sand Hill Road Group. We've been talking about the space and the people, and we had a long piece from one of the four partners about... One of the things that popped up in all of that was the emotion, and Doug, it was quite an emotional day for a number of reasons. Why do you think so?
We're pretty personal guys. Like we care about what we do. We care about each other, and this is, and it's been a long, this is 2.5 years of building this pub, but for us, this represents in our minds, you know, an accumulation of 16 years of business. We've built pubs and done a reasonably good job, I think, on them, and we've sold a few along the way. But we've always been sort of building to something, and this to us, I think, is very much that something. It very much represents what we've always kind of wanted to do, which was to build something, ideally something iconic or institutional within Melbourne, and we love Melbourne, and so... This matters to us, and I hope it resonates, and I hope it connects with Melburnians. If it doesn't, that's okay. But it's something that we really were passionate about. It's just to build something that is so iconic and wonderful, and it's, you know, and give it to Melbourne to have a go at and enjoy. It just matters.
It does. It was very clear to all of us. And, you know, people listening, there's been a couple of messages. And I think, Greg, I read the message before. What a great story. These guys really make the fabric and uniqueness of Melbourne so amazingly great. So high praise from one of our listeners, having listened to Andy.
Thank
before.
You've
gathered a team of very clever people. You talked about before having people who know how to run businesses. Your sommelier, a young man, we heard a little bit about him from Andy. He's a whip of a kid, really. There's not much of him, and he's only a young fella, but he's got an incredible palate. How did you go about gathering the people you wanted in this business?
Oh, we spoke to a lot of people, and we wrote a list of who when we're building this pub, thinking, you know, dreamy to the camp, who do you want in our business to run all of its divisions? Pick the best people, write on a piece of paper. We don't know their names. We don't know these guys. We didn't know them. But we wrote, you know, where would you want your sommelier from? We want a group sommelier. We want a sommelier for the Garden State. Name the venues that you'd choose to do and describe this person. And we're like, okay, so great to have the sommelier that did Viewdemont. I love the Royal Mail Hotel. I'd love to get the guy that did that. And so then... and there's, you know, there were a few others, and you go, okay, I don't want a stuffy 50-year-old, 60-year-old sommelier personally, because it's not our style.
Yeah.
And you find out who the sommelier of Royal Mail is, and sure enough, it is this young guy.
He's 26. He's
exceptionally charming. He's the youngest ever, I think, quartermaster qualified sommelier. He's just an exceptional man, and the real skill, the real genius to him is not actually just his knowledge of wine, because I think there's a lot of brilliant people who are wine buffs. But the way that he can actually articulate and speak to, in real accessible terms, to the people who are actually talking to him. So he can sum you up pretty well.
Mm.
He knows kind of the level of conversation you want to have about wine, and he can kind of nail it at the time, which I think is the real skill in being a sommelier. It's not, it's not just the knowledge.
And then cocktails, you've got your man from Motor V.
Of course. So you say, righto, we need a guy that can bring all the best cocktails to this venue. Name the venue. Well, of course it's Oda V. It's the premier cocktail place in Melbourne. So Kevin Peters has come along. He was the assistant manager of Oda V. And he too is pretty young, exciting fella, and loves talking about all the liquor and all the cocktails, but certainly won't bore you to death by twiddling his bow tie and too quirky and too out there, you know. He's a wonderful guy.
And
he's completely accessible.
I guess it's the biggest challenge. We're an industry that's starving for staff, and we're constantly searching for the right people to fit into our venues, whatever they are. It's a challenge from a chef's point of view. It's a challenge from a front of house point of view, and you seem to have been able to attract the right people. So I don't know what you're offering them, but I'm sure it's all very pleasant.
Yeah, look, we're a culture-based company, and I think it's some people who start to meet us and get involved in our company, I think, realise that it's not just about what you do and the money you take home. It's actually about what you get out of it as well as what you put into it. And we give a lot back to our staff. We treat people really well, I think, and we treat them with respect. And it's not token. It's just, look, we realise these guys are working with us, and that's... And that matters. So we engage them and we love them and we get to know their families and all sorts of stuff. So I think that helps. I think that that brings people to us and certainly gets people to stay. We'd have a pretty minimal staff turnover relative to the industry, which is nice. It's kind of flattering that people want to hang out with us.
Was there anyone you wanted that you couldn't get?
No, to be honest, we have absolutely got the A-team, and I pinch myself a little bit thinking, you know, really, we got Marcus Radney, we've got this sommelier from, Vue du Monde and Royal Mail, we've got Ash Hicks, this, you know, Circa head chef, we've got Kevin Peters, we've got Dan Viney, who's the general manager of this place, who we haven't spoken about, but he's an extraordinary talent within front of house and actually managing
people. Who did you nick him from?
He was an assistant manager. He's worked for Publican Group as an area manager, and also over at Dixon Group as an area manager as well. So he was running, you know, 10, 12 venues at a time, and he came and knocked on our door and said, "Boys, I know what you're doing, I'm in."
Mm.
And it was like, "You beauty." So it's wonderful. We're really, really fortunate with the people that we've got.
Doug, I have no doubt this is going to be a success. I have no doubt that this is going to become very much iconic Melbourne. And I have that confidence because having met the four of you, it's very simple to see why you have been successful and that the recipe for that success is almost there in its simplicity. So good luck. I will see you in the venue, no doubt, whether it's in the Rose Garden or for a cocktail or a cold beer after a challenging week. I wish you great success. I'm sure it's going to be one of those places we talk about as iconic Melbourne in the next couple of years. Mate, congratulations.
Thank you, Pete, and I really appreciate you taking the time to talk about us and get involved in our little journey. So really appreciate it, mate.
Been a pleasure. Good luck.
See you soon. Bye.
Thanks. That's Doug Maskell. He is one quarter of the Sandhill Road Group. They're just a fascinating bunch of guys and who seem to have found this recipe to make things work incredibly well. So we'll watch that with interest. A couple of messages, and then I'm going to finish today's program with some music to give the Escape Pod some time to pop into the studio and set themselves up to chart their course, if you will, as they take you travelling once again on a very glorious Saturday afternoon. I will be back next week. Of course, more cravings to go ahead. I think we might go French next week. We tried to do that this week, but it didn't quite make it. So we'll try and get hold of Philippe Michel and Jacques Raymond and maybe even Gabriel Gattai again, just to put the three men in the studio and look at all things French. Of course, in a couple of weeks, we'll talk Brazil with the Olympics coming up. You need to know more about Brazilian food than you already do. So that's it for me today. I will give you a couple of messages. We'll have a song. This has been Cravings. I have been Pete Dillon, and it's heading up to the Escape Pod at 2 o'clock. Thanks so much for your company today. I'll be back next week. See ya.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.